This is CliffCentral.com.
Shape of You.
Ed Sheeran and Shape of You. Just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com on a Tuesday morning. Yvonne Chaka Chaka will join us just after 8 o'clock today. Love her. Haven't seen her in a while. It's time to catch up. And she just recently won a humanitarian award at the BET Awards. And
that was,
yeah, that was no small thing. Yeah. So we're very proud of Ma Chaka.
In LA, Nochal, a few weeks ago. So that's awesome.
That's right. All right, so she'll be popping in, and we've got a couple other things. We've got a game that we're going to be playing later on.
Oh, nice. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah. It's called the Ellen Psych Game, because I think Ellen DeGeneres plays it, right? Is that how it works?
Yes, yes. Okay. On her show.
So we compiled our own one. You basically have to choose which of the answers is true. And one of the answers is outrageous and real. So stick around for that. It'll
okay.
be fun. All right, what do we need to know today?
All right, so do you remember that show Prison Break? And then there was Prison Break 2.
Yeah, you'd think that once they got out of prison, they'd know better than to get back in. Yeah.
All right. And then a local version of Prison Break, if you will, would be Kruger National Park Break.
For animals or for humans?
Well, for animals, Gareth, because apparently there were four more lions that escaped from the Kruger National Park yesterday.
Nice. Have they eaten anyone yet?
Did you say nice?
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, man.
Listen, the animals owned the place long before any of us. So if we're going to ever have an argument about who owns the land, you know how people go on about land in this country? Then the people who get to choose, or the creatures that get to choose first, are the animals. And you know how they choose? By eating the people who live in their land.
I would love to know how often these escapes happen that don't even end up in the media, is what I would like to know.
Yeah.
Oh, like if they quickly get to, you know, wrangle the animals in.
If they quickly get to wrangle them in, or if they never get to wrangle them in. I mean, can you imagine how many times...
They just go, shh, shh, don't tell
him. Yeah.
Shh,
shh. Can you imagine how many times animals are escaping from the park? So four male lions were believed to have escaped from the Kruger National Park yesterday. They were spotted in a nearby village, according to SANParks.
Uh-huh.
Residents were, as is customary, urged to exercise extra caution, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's always the same statement that they read from whenever something like this happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, a spokesperson for SANParks said that rangers and their counterparts at Mpumalanga Tourism and Parks Agency were in the area searching for the lions. It's another park escape, if you will. I don't know if they actually managed to capture all of them already, because I've been trying to find updates on that, and I can't seem to find them just
yet. How many? There were four this time around.
Four male lions.
Because remember back in May, there were also lions who escaped.
Yeah.
Well, we got Simba on the line, speaking of lions. Simba from San Diego. How are you, dude?
Hey, what's up, Gareth? How's it going? Hey, Sia. Hey, Mubs.
Hi, Simba.
Hey, Simba.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep.
Yeah, you get your intro and everything.
Why did it take so long for us to get this intro?
Yeah,
actually?
Really. I mean.
Hello. Hello, my people.
All right, Simba, what's going on, man?
Not much, guys. Just loving the East Randers, as I was telling Amanda.
All right.
This guy's so funny.
Well, you see, a lot of people forget that South Africa is not just a country full of obviously diverse cultures, and we've got, you know, 9 different provinces and 11 official languages. But even inside of a metro like Johannesburg, there are major, major cultural differences between East and West.
I was telling you, it reminds me of the stupid kids in the OC.
Yeah, Orange County.
Orange County is, I mean, it's a mirror. I mean, it's the same thing.
Really?
It's such a similar culture, yeah.
Tell us, what, for those people who don't know, the OC is kind of like, it's almost like four ways. More than the East Rand. It's like these, it's these kind of spoilt,
it's like,
middle class kids, don't they? They all care about, you know, each other's clothes and cars and material possessions.
Ed Hardy shirts.
Right,
and,
got you.
You know, so you guys have the Oaks. We have the Bros.
Yeah.
With their lifted trucks and,
right.
Yeah.
douchebags.
But yeah, it's been fun listening to that. But the reason what really got me, I was listening yesterday, and you guys were talking about like pirating and how they're trying to clamp down. Is it DStv is trying to clamp down on downloading stuff illegally?
Well, they're helping investigate and find a couple of pirates, and then they're going to lock them up to make an example to the rest of us because they think it'll save their business. All they're doing is making people hate them more.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me. So about 6 months ago, I was traveling somewhere, and I decided to download, I forget what series it was. I think I was downloading Silicon Valley, the HBO show.
Yeah.
And I decided to download a couple episodes so that I could watch them on the plane. And about 2 hours later, my internet completely shut down.
What?
Yeah. And then I went into my browser and it said to call my internet provider. So I called the guys and then they said, oh, yeah, by the way, you were flagged by HBO because someone in your household is downloading something that belongs to them. And I didn't even know what to say. So, yeah, there might be some teeth to this whole thing.
So are you back online? Obviously, you're listening to us now, so you must be. But how did you persuade them that you didn't need to be censored?
Well, so they can't really shut you down. So what I realized is they can't shut down your internet completely. If you call and you say, I want to be turned back on, I want to have you guys turn it back on, they have to. So they turned it on immediately, but they let me know. And then they sent me a letter. It's like a generic cease and desist letter from their lawyers. And it has like a big FBI badge on it and all that. But wow. I looked into it and they really can't do much. They can't do a lot about it if they can't get a hold of the actual physical computer. So, yeah.
Well, that's pretty scary, though. I mean, for a second there, you must have been worried, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, because I've heard about like how they've made an example of certain people. Made them pay $50,000 fines, or pay for all the fines that are coming from within a certain area. So I was a little bit nervous about that. But when the guy turned it on, I went and I looked it up, and they can push you around pretty nicely.
Damn, that's terrifying.
Yeah,
I hear you're in contact with Hi Rob.
Yeah, so me and Rob we talk on Instagram every now and then. He's cool. I'm gonna go to Amsterdam probably next year, but I should go. I might be going to SA in December. I might be coming down to Zimbabwe actually, and I might hit SA in December too. So I'm not sure which one I'll do first.
All right. Do you think Bob will be dead by then?
That guy's never dying.
He'll live forever, right?
No, that guy's going to outlive all of us. I guarantee it.
All right, Simba, nice to hear from you, man.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Peace and love. Peace and love.
There we go. Peace and love. Simba with his theme music. All right, let's get back to the news. Mubs, what else do we need to know? What?
No, the whole cutting off his internet thing.
Yeah. Well, you got to be careful because they can look for you and make it a problem, and it won't be pleasant for you. I can promise you that.
I feel like all of these companies are now in the stride of trying to make examples of people. They're not going to stop it, though.
No, because if Sia got bust, would Mabali stop? No.
No.
If I got bust, would Sia stop? No.
Nope.
This is what these guys don't realize. So if you go after individuals, it's what Sanrel don't realize too. So you go after someone for the e-tolls, the rest of us are going to just hate you more.
It really is, that Sanrail, that meter cab.
And I know, I get that it's illegal. I understand. But it's too late now. It's like music. Mm. Also, no one's paying for music anymore. Nobody. You just ripped that off of YouTube.
Because it's great, when you bring up the music topic, Jay-Z's latest album has now gone platinum in a space of a couple of days.
On Tidal.
But at the same time, it was one of the biggest, most illegally downloaded albums.
Right.
So you just can't escape it in this day and age.
Just accept that technology has helped a lot of businesses. Facebook and Instagram and Google are worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. And the music business has lost billions and billions and billions of dollars. What you lose in the swings, you gain in the roundabouts. Some businesses have suffered from the internet coming along. Other businesses have thrived. Just accept stuff has changed. You can't turn back the clock. And getting the lawyers involved is the last thing you want to do. That's going to make people hate you. We hate that. Don't we?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, if Sanrel came after Sia Mubs for his unpaid e-tolls.
Yeah.
Is that going to make you rush to a Sanrel office to pay your e-tolls, or is it going to make you go, you know, F these guys?
F Sanrel.
Right. Anyway, don't get the minute you get the lawyers involved, it's usually an admission that you've lost control of the situation. That's all. Let's get back to some news stories.
Well, we touched on President Robert Mugabe just a little bit, so we might as well take it there.
What has he done?
Well, it's more about what the Zimbabwean opposition parties have done. They have reportedly accused the president, who is all of 93 years of age, of running the country from a hospital bed after the nonagenarian, that always trips me up.
Don't worry, that's not a word you get to use often because most people don't live that long.
Yeah, nonagenarian. He flew out of the country yet again for routine medical checkups over the weekend. According to NewZimbabwe.com, the parties demanded the immediate retirement of the veteran leader. Guys, I don't know if you heard what Simba said just a few seconds ago. He's not going anywhere.
No.
Spokesperson for the Movement for Democratic Change, the MDC, said that Mugabe's retirement was long overdue. Yes, Mr. Gutu, that is the spokesperson for the MDC, Obert Gutu. Gutu said that Mugabe was no longer young and the punishing schedule that he gives himself isn't good for his physique either. Neither is it good for his mental and emotional health. On the other hand, the Tendai Biti-led People's Democratic Party, the PDP, their spokesperson, Jacob Mafume, said that Mugabe should just relocate to Singapore as the Southeast Asian country had become his home. Oh, dear. Mugabe's medical trips to Singapore have become more frequent in recent years. His previous visit was in May, just a few months ago, and it was also said to be for a routine medical checkup. And then back in 2011 and 2014, he had eye surgery in a hospital in the Southeast Asian country. Now, Mugabe walks with difficulty, and sometimes he dozes off during meetings and speeches.
He's a very old man. You got to quit at some point.
Wait.
No, but you've got to.
During
I must
speeches as well, he falls asleep.
Yes, yeah. Yes, and I must remind you what his people said, the people from his team, because, you know, there were pictures that surfaced of him asleep at an event that was being covered by the media. And his people very quickly came out and they said, "No, guys, what you don't understand is that the president needs to rest his eyes because of his age, and then there's the sunlight, and then there's the camera flashes in his face."
Okay.
And they said he just rests his eyes every now and again. He's not
sleeping. I just wonder, because at the same time, you don't, in a situation in a state like Zimbabwe, you do not want to be the one who speaks out. But there you are, you're listening intently to what the president has to say in one of his marathon speeches, and then there's just silence.
Well, he's dozing off.
You go, well, does someone have to wake him up, or do you just wait until he wakes?
Are you going
to
be the person who wakes up President Robert Mugabe? Dude.
The guy can't. He's old. He needs to have a sleep.
He's 93, guys. He's 93.
Yeah. You know what? If I were 93, I would have hopefully the presence of mind to say, "Listen, guys, I'm going to go and retire. We've got lots of other people who could run this country. I'm not the only one in the whole world who can run Zimbabwe. And it's time for someone else." I mean, doesn't he want to enjoy at least one or two years where he doesn't have to fall asleep in public, where he can actually go to bed, where he can eat his soup, he can have his grandchildren visit him, do the routine stuff that old people like to do? I don't understand why he wants to hang on so badly. Do you?
He's
let go.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You've done it all. Come on.
It actually shows more power if you. Well, it's more than stepping
out
when you're
right.
on top.
Yeah.
You know?
He's basically...
To be man enough to do that.
He's admitting he's lost authority, and the only way to hang on to it is to be physically present. And with all these trips to Singapore to have supposedly routine operations, you know the guy's not going to last forever. We joke about him and we say, "Oh, he'll last forever." One of these trips, he's just not going to come back. then they're going to have to kick into the plan anyway. So why doesn't he just quit now?
Exactly.
Dumb to hold on.
Well, since we are talking about sleep, it is quite a big concern, right? According to statistics in the likes of America, 1/3 of people aren't getting enough sleep. And so we're now seeing trends with the likes of Silicon Valley actually spending more money and effort into creating products and apps and more innovation to ensure that we get better sleep. I, for one, am dying over this because I'm here for this body. So here are some...
You need more sleep?
Oh no, I just love sleep. If I could list that, honestly, like as an official hobby, I would.
I love it. I would love to.
Sleep.
There is nothing better than being able to just sleep when you're tired.
Oh man.
Isn't that the greatest?
Yes.
That's nature. It's telling you, you need to sleep now.
Yes.
You should be able to sleep wherever you want, whenever you want. It'll make you more productive. I'm telling you. Because then you'll be awake when you need to be awake, and you'll be asleep when you need to be asleep. And in between, you will get everything done.
And although we never, most of us never get to enjoy this luxury, there's nothing better than waking up naturally from a sleep.
That's
instead of some horrible alarm clock. just waking up naturally. Right. In your own time, when your body says, I'm ready. Oh, that's the best.
I could cry right
stupid
now.
Stupid alarm clock just like so rudely interrupts you every morning.
So that's the first thing that I do on a weekend.
What's the latest you've ever slept? Like, let's say you got to sleep. What's the longest period? Not the latest. What's the longest number of hours you've ever just lain in bed and slept?
Ooh.
I've done 12 hours.
You've done 12.
Yeah,
I don't think I've done longer than 12, but I've certainly hit the 12-hour mark. And that wasn't because I had been drinking heavily the night before or anything like that. It was just my body telling me, listen, I need some time to recuperate. And I just slept. And 12 hours later, I woke up and I was refreshed.
I reckon there's some people listening to us right now who are going, God, I got like 2 or 3 hours. I need more.
Mm.
You know that feeling.
You think about it now. You know, if you sleep at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
For me, I can easily sleep right through to like 10 a.m. Does that seem like a lot? I really can.
I think that's healthy. Look, clearly, you know, there are people who are depressed and they sleep for a very long time, but it's because they're depressed.
Yeah.
They don't want to get out of bed necessarily. That's different. And I think there's probably an upper limit to how much you should be sleeping. I've never reached it.
Yeah, I have. Yes, yes.
I'd like to know what that feels like.
What have you? What's the most you've ever slept?
I don't know. It's maybe about 10 to 12 hours.
Mm.
But I find my back actually gets sore if I lie down for that long.
Yeah, I have had incidents where,
that's blasphemous. Stop that right now.
I know, but it's not normal.
Do you ever wake up after a long sleep and you're tired from sleeping? I love those where I have to go back to sleep.
Wow, Sia, I think you may have a problem.
My mom thinks it's like the worst thing in the world, but I wake up and I'm yawning from like, oh, I actually feel tired, and then I have to go back to sleep. Oh yeah, I could do that all day or day.
Sleep from being tired of sleeping.
Yeah.
It's like that saying of you need a holiday after a holiday, from your holiday.
Okay, I got you.
This sounds rational to me, absolutely.
Okay, so what have they discovered?
There is now some technology to help you sleep better and to notice this more. There is a Sleep Number 360 smart bed, which just casually runs from about $3,400 to $4,900 US.
What?
Now, oh yeah, this bed makes adjustments and can record patterns based on how restless people are while they're sleeping. So imagine now your bed being able to, you know, sync in with your doctor and it updates you like, okay, well.
I love this. Rich people are going to have even better lives and even better sleep, and the poor are going to carry on suffering.
Oh, man.
But how is me being monitored actually helping me to sleep better?
Well, this can curb it. So that's why a practical example is if this is a medical issue, your doctor's alerted sooner. On a slightly smaller budget for $299 US is the Zeke pillow. And this actually monitors snoring. And if you are snoring, This is for every single partner who suffers with a snorer.
Yeah.
The pillow will gently nudge and vibrate you until you like turn and sleep in a different position.
It should zap you like a current running through, like gently nudge you. No, it should zap them.
Here is Dory's cat snoring. Listen to this. This is a cat. All right. Supposedly this is... I didn't even know that cats could snore, did you?
I mean, the purring, yes, but snoring?
Right, listen, this is a cat. That's a cat snoring. That's Dory's cat. So here's my dog snoring. You can compare them and you can figure out which one you think is worse. This is what I have to put up with.
Every night?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Listen to this. That's nothing. Wait.
Wow.
That's the dog. All right? That sounds like a human.
Yes, it does. It really does.
That's my dog snoring.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so sweet. Yeah. You're
it's
welcome.
Sweet and endearing now.
Yeah, you can
every
have it.
Every evening, no. So, yes, there is now an app called Beddit, BEDDIT as well. This app includes a $150 sensor, which begins tracking when a person lies down, and it analyzes data such as the portion of time someone is in bed asleep before waking up. It also monitors your heart rate, your temperature, movement, and your snoring as well. But here's, for me, the creme de la creme of everything else.
Yeah.
A $99 alarm clock. Now, this has get to wake you up. It has scent options that include the likes of strong espresso.
So it wakes you up with a certain smell.
Yes.
That sounds like an amazing alarm clock.
You can choose your favorite smell.
Wow.
And that is how you'll get woken up. Not this harsh, some horrible marching band as your little alarm clock tone. Oh, yeah.
The smell of espresso.
Imagine.
That'll wake you up with a smile.
Oh, yeah. So many other different things. You know, the likes of Amazon's Alexa is now having innovations with the likes of playing around with colors and brightness of your lights in your home. So you can program that to say, okay, at 9 p.m., start dimming the lights. At 10 p.m., lights out for everything. At 5 a.m., wake me up with a light blue light. Oh, this is all just fantastic. And also the likes of now including on the notes of smell is, you know, choosing options like fresh linen, the smell of fresh linen in your bedroom. Like, now this...
Well, how about just having fresh linen because you wash it? Is that too much to ask? You need an alarm clock to do that for you? Unbelievable.
Oh, Silicon Valley, I am here. I am here with all of this innovation. This all is right. Amazing.
Okay. I like this. This sounds like a good alarm clock. It's got smell options. Does it have sound and smell and light?
So you can alter it. You can really choose what works best for you.
Really is everything.
Yeah. So, you know, the likes of that alarm clock, if you let it go for 3 minutes without shutting it off or hitting snooze, it will then start making a noise. So, you know, like at first you ease into your day with the smells, but then, hey, like, screw it, you need to wake up type of thing.
All right, I want one of those.
Interesting.
Sounds expensive, though.
$99.
That's a fair amount.
What is that?
It's over $1,000.
Never mind.
but 1,400. 1,400, 1,500 bucks.
But it's an investment, guy.
Yeah. I like that. The smell of espresso. You're telling me that wouldn't work for some people as the best thing to smell first thing in the morning. All right. Let's move on.
Okay, so the family of rugby player legend Huis van der Westhuizen have decided that they are no longer going ahead with the legal proceedings to try to declare a will which was left behind by Huis unsigned as valid. Remember there was a story a couple of months ago about how the family and Amor were contesting a couple of wills that were left behind, one signed, one wasn't, so it turned into a whole big mess. But now the family have decided that actually, you know what, it's fine. We'll drop everything. The will is said to be the last one which was drafted on behalf of Huis. It was drafted back in 2015, in terms of which his estranged wife, Amor, was basically left with nothing.
All right.
Now, this will was earlier rejected by the Master of the High Court, as it had not been signed by the then already ailing Hewist. He suffered from motor neuron disease, and he was too weak to sign it himself. His lawyer, Ferdy Hartzenberg, signed it as Commissioner of Oaths, but someone actually had to sign it on behalf of Hewist as well. Mm. Hartzenberg did not want to comment on the issue, other than to confirm that, yes, they are no longer going to launch the urgent proceedings in the Gauteng High Court in Pretoria to have the will declared valid. It's understood that most of your assets have, in any event, been moved to his J9 fund, trust.
Uh-huh.
And that is going to be administered by trustees. They are in the process of being appointed. And then your two children are beneficiaries of the trust. It is also understood that the assets in the trust, among others, include two properties. The children will benefit from the trust once they come of age. Now, Amor had submitted a will that had been signed by both of them in 2009, in terms of which she inherited everything in the estate. So this initial will saw Amor inheriting everything. And then the second will, which was drafted a few years later, but the one that wasn't signed, saw her getting nothing.
So how's she going to look after the kids until they come of age if he didn't leave her anything behind? And she's got to work and support his children while this trust just sits there and waits for the kids to turn 18? How does that work? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. And in that 2009 will, it also includes Joost's half of their income in Daneford Valley in Johannesburg, where Amor owned the other half. The family have also said that they will not contest this will. So this one that the two of them signed back in 2009 will stand as is.
Okay.
As it is believed that the family are not interested in further confrontation with Amor regarding Joost's assets. The J9 Trust is at this stage still paying maintenance to Amor for the care of the two children.
Okay.
So she is getting maintenance every month. Yeah. And, you know, she's done a couple of radio interviews where she made it clear that, you know, look, all of this she's doing in the best interests of her children. She wants them to maintain the lifestyle and the hobbies that they had become accustomed to, which a lot of parents would agree with or would say where their children are involved. Joost died in February this year, following his long battle with motor neuron disease, and he and Amor were married in community of property at the time of his death, although they were separated.
So they were still married in community of property when he died.
Yeah, they were just separated, but they weren't actually divorced.
I didn't know that.
I also didn't know that.
I don't think...
Yeah. When did the whole hooker thing happen?
That was... Sia, can you...
It's about 2008, 2009.
Yeah, I remember I was still in primary school.
Oh,
that was every year up to 3 years ago.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, the thing is, you know, I had grown up, I was collecting the year you and Heesgenoot covers.
Really?
When they got married, I shit you not, when they got married, when Jordan was born, when really? Kylie was born, when they renovated one wing of their house to, you know, accommodate the new baby girl, everything.
You followed these two?
Abso-freaking-lutely. You know, Heat magazine, when they first came out, they were like doing all these fake scenes of following it more when she went shopping in Santon. I was there all the way. So when the sex tape scandal came out,
it's a big story for you.
Oh,
2009.
Who knew?
I was crushed.
See, yeah, so, look at you.
So, yes.
Guys, massive Amor and
Joost. I remember that.
Huh.
2009, that was what, 8 years ago?
Listen, give her a call. See if she's willing to come and talk. Yeah, I don't know why she'd waste her time on any other shows. She should come here.
The last time I did get in contact with her, she said that legally she wasn't able to speak.
Oh, please. She's done other interviews.
So, yeah, let's see now. So she's evidently speaking out, so she should.
Here is Vincent. He says, I am so effing tired. I need to sleep more. I wake up many times at night and oversleep in the morning. This bullshit's going to kill me. Drinking a lot doesn't help.
Mm.
Vincent.
It's rough, Vincent.
Then, and it's like a tried and failed thing. Yeah, I've tried it drinking all the time.
Mariska says, what megalomaniac would relinquish power? Mugabe is staying alive so he can continue controlling people.
He's staying alive.
Yeah, he's doing it on purpose.
Okay.
It's according to Mariska.
Jeez, I want his secret in that case.
Rusty says, I slept 26 hours once.
Oh.
That's
past a day.
26 hours. Yeah, it's a full day plus 2 hours.
It's a full day. Yo.
He says he was coming down from some terrible drugs.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That'll do that to you.
Romain, who is actually conversant in these matters, says that one can disinherit an ex-spouse while providing maintenance to children. Can be done through a trust. So in other words, she won't get anything, but the kids will get their maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be responsible for making sure that the kids are looked after.
Oh, okay. That's in response to the question that you asked about, but what about the children?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Ashley says, those stupid bastards, they can't run smaller provinces. They think it'll be easier when the provinces are bigger. It's 100% about votes and nothing else. No surprises there. That's about that story in the news that Obed Baphela of the ANC's NEC is trying to get the number of provinces reduced from 9 to 6. Just look up the word gerrymandering with a G. That's all you need to know when it comes to what the ANC are trying to do there. And then somebody says here, I'm in California, and I just got off the Kolkakio's website. They need to open a store here. I'm sure all the hippies out here would love the Mediterranean and some of their other options on their menu.
Oh,
well, there's an idea. And a microwave, somebody says. Do you know what that is?
It's a kitchen appliance that you use to warm up your food or to even cook your food sometimes.
Nope. A microwave is a hand gesture used by a midget to say hello.
Stop it.
All right. Let's get into a little game. Amanda's got a game for us. We're going to mess around and have some fun this morning because it's a Tuesday and we thought we all needed to just chill out. There's too much news to pay attention to. There's too much stuff that we worry about day in, day out. We've got the public protector screwing up left, right, and center. So let's play some games and have some fun. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right, Amanda, you ready? Let's get cracking.
She's on the phone.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the Psych Game. That's right. I'm going to give you a...
Okay.
I'm going to give you an intro, and you have to guess which one out of these three outrageous things is the real answer, okay?
Okay. Okay.
And Amanda will provide those answers for us. First of all, you know Harry Styles from One Direction?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can Harry Styles A, swim, B, speak Chinese, or C, juggle? Which is it?
Which is the correct one?
He can do one of those three. Can you guess which one it is?
Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Is he the one with the hair?
Yes. Well,
they all have hair. What
no, but
mean?
He, I mean...
A lot of hair,
oh, the
yes.
curly... Yeah. Mick Jagger looks like a young Mick Jagger if you squint.
I am going to guess that the young Styles juggles.
Yeah.
Sia, would you like to guess?
Juggles, because learning, like, speak Chinese, that's a lot to ask. And of course, I think he can swim.
What do you think? Amanda, what's the answer?
Correct.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, excellent. So Harry Styles can juggle. As a child, Johnny Depp was allergic to wheat, chocolate, or grass? Pick your answer.
He looks like he's Johnny down Depp. With the swirl, so I don't think he's allergic to chocolate.
Right.
I'll say grass.
Wheat or grass or chocolate? Which one is it, Mubs? Choose.
I mean, Johnny Depp, he's old, so wheat allergies back in the day for him as a child, like that's not necessarily something that they would have acknowledged or recognized.
No.
Okay, I'm going to go with chocolate.
All right. Amanda, is it either chocolate or is it wheat or grass?
Mubs is on a roll.
Mubs is right. Oh. Okay, so it is chocolate.
Ooh. What an odd...
Elvis Presley was a natural A, redhead, B, blonde, or C, brunette.
Oh.
Elvis Presley, we remember Elvis from his very dark hair and fancy hairstyle. Is he actually, was he born a redhead, a blonde, or a brunette?
I'll say brunette. Blonde.
You're going to say blonde, Sia? Mubs, what are you going to say?
Oh, I'm gonna go on a limb here and say a redhead.
Oh. Which is it, Amanda?
Well done, Sia. He was blonde.
Oh.
There we go. Orlando Bloom has a fear of. Orlando Bloom has a fear of dogs, children, or pigs? Which one is it? Dogs, children, or pigs? Which one is Orlando Bloom scared of?
Dogs, children, or pigs? I'm going to keep it simple here and say just like the harmless little dog.
Dogs. Which is it?
Pigs.
Pigs. Okay, well, what a pity you got that one wrong. You were doing so well, you two. Brad Pitt is a supporter of A, racism, B, same-sex marriage, or D, C, Donald Trump.
Same-sex marriage.
All right, that one's easy, right? It's same-sex marriage.
That's right.
Okay. Kesha is terrified of A, clowns, B, snakes, or C, ghosts.
Clowns, Kesha. Snakes, and
ghosts.
Clowns.
Clowns.
Is that correct?
Ghosts.
Oh. Ghosts. Oh. All right. Rebel Wilson owes her career to A, a deadly disease, B, her Aunt Beth, or C, Broadway. That's Rebel Wilson.
Owes her career.
Yeah. Is it a deadly disease, her Aunt Beth, or Broadway?
That's Fat Amy from Bridesmaids. So I'll say it's whoever Aunt Beth is.
I'm also thinking, who the hell is Aunt Beth? And therefore, I'm going to say that.
Is it Aunt Beth?
It's a deadly disease.
Oh, what happened?
What?
As far as I know, I think she had malaria, and I think she actually got it in like the Krug or something when she came here.
Oh, really? And how did that contribute to her career?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, thanks very much.
Okay. See now.
Great.
See, Amanda.
This is great, Amanda. I mean, we'd like to know how.
On the story. Yeah.
All right. The South African... No, let's just skip that one. Let's go to South Africa is the largest producer of platinum, coal, or gold in the world?
Platinum.
Platinum, Sia?
Isn't gold...
Which is it?
Platinum.
Oh, Mabane is winning again. You're going to get so tired of winning. All right. Last one, just for fun. There is an underwater bar in Israel, Miami, or Cape Town. An underwater bar.
Miami.
It's Miami?
Wait, Israel is with innovation. No, but they don't drink much. Miami.
Israel.
Which is it?
Well done, Mabs.
Mabs wins again. She is the overall winner this morning.
Thank you very much.
Okay, a little fun game for you.
Well, well, well.
All right, very nice. Thank you, Amanda. What else have we got to do?
Well, this, I hope, is also a game of some sort. But yeah, we spoke about this a while ago when these whispers were first sort of being heard. The fact that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is thinking of running for President of the United States in 2020.
Yes.
Well, now, Gareth, you're already tight.
I mean, we've got a reality TV star. Now we want Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
former wrestling champion.
These papers were now filed with the Federal Election Commission, and records show that there is a committee that has been named Run the Rock 2020. So that was filed on behalf of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So that's his campaign that he's running with in 2020, Run the Rock. And so it's official. He's definitely going out there and going to be running for presidency.
Hmm. Yeah, you know what? I mean... You might think it's just ridiculous, or you might ask the question, oh, guys, like, are we really being serious now? But America is exactly that kind of country where stuff like this is allowed to happen. You know, they always brag about how you can be anything in America. You can follow any dream you want. Well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, and I love the way people, if they don't like something, if they don't like you, or they don't like who you are, who you represent, or what party you're from, or anything else, they'll find reasons to criticize you. Mm. And in this case, if you don't like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, let's say you're not a major fan of his, then you'll say, oh, well, he shouldn't be allowed to run for president.
Mm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the American dream is that you should be able to grow up and do everything. And then there are those people who say, you see how Donald Trump is taking his daughter everywhere? Ivanka, she appears with Angela Merkel at the G20.
Mm.
Her husband is part of the White House staff. She's kind of standing in for the First Lady in many of her duties. We don't have any problem with Cell C take a girl child to work day, but the minute Donald Trump does it, we have a problem. Do you see any hypocrisy there at all? Even though she's a grown woman? If any other dad was empowering his daughter like this and letting her make important decisions and be present at important things, I don't know that we'd have a problem with it. We liked it when Madiba did that with Zinzi and Zanani.
Yes.
You remember?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't like it when Trump does it with Ivanka.
Because
what is that all about?
Because we've decided that we don't like Trump, and therefore anything and everything that he does, we're going to find a way to criticize.
Yeah. So being objective with it, are we all? You know, I'm not the smartest or well versed in all of this, but it is evident that no one is actually criticizing Ivanka on the, you know, acts that she signed or
no, she hasn't. I don't think she signed any acts.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, anything that she said politically, it's the fact that she's there,
and they're not criticizing.
And they don't like her. Yeah.
Again, they're not even criticizing Trump on policy. They're criticizing him on handshakes and on his attacks on CNN and his tweets. Nobody seems to be talking about his policies. So you've got to ask yourself, where exactly are our priorities? Why are we so worried about the Polish president's wife not shaking his hand in that clip? But we're definitely not concerned about the kinds of things he's doing in policy in the US. Can you name one or two of those, please? You can absolutely show me videos of him doing stupid stuff. You can show me tweets.
Mm.
Tell me about his policy.
No, most of us can't do that because we don't bother to go beyond the headlines,
right,
or beyond the memes and the jokes. We're not really interested in the politics of it all.
But you know, we've always been emotive, guys. We're humans, because this is how exactly if there's a candidate who goes out, spends time with old women and kisses babies, we fall in love.
Huh.
You know, I will put my hand up and go, you know, that President Obama guy, you know, his act on or his policy on. No, it was, oh, did you hear the Yes We Can speech?
Yeah. That's what appeals to us emotionally.
Exactly.
We're not that interested in what kind of a job they're doing.
Mm.
By the way, they've started construction on the wall. The Mexican wall.
Oh,
and he did meet with the Mexican president. Obviously not controversial enough. That's why we didn't hear about it. But Trump has been meeting with the Mexican president, and all they want to do is figure out that people shouldn't be allowed to cross the border illegally. That's all between the two of them. I heard an interesting story. Trevor Noah was in El Paso in Texas, which is right on the border.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have his papers with him.
Uh-oh, and Trevor.
He got swept up in the crowd.
Is this a true story?
Yes.
He told it on The View.
Yeah.
And then he was taken across the bridge. And the guy stopped him because he was trying to come back. And they're like, hey, you can't go this way. He's like, no, I'm not meant to be on that side. And he had to tell them to Google him because they wouldn't have allowed him back into the country otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, look, it sounds inconvenient as all hell. But if you're Trevor Noah and the line of business that you're in, that's a good story to have.
Look, he says,
in hindsight, that's a good story to have.
He says Google got him into the situation, but also got him out because he was using Google Maps to go to like the small or whatever the case was.
Yeah, and, he was looking for a shop.
Went with the crowd and hey, look, if you squint, he could pass off as a Trevor Manuale.
No, he could. And he's admitted so himself.
Here's an email from Jennifer. She says, hey, Gareth and team, halala. Just wanted to let you know, I listen to your show, I listen to the app on my phone, and the amount of times I have to bite my lip to stop from bursting out with laughter so I don't look like a crazy lady laughing alone. I've been listening since you guys started. I would force my brother to listen to your show every morning. I love how you were the only one who would read out the Daily Sun's prizes for the week, because they would always give away sheep and tombstones. Do you remember?
Yes. Necessities. Necessities for some.
I'll never forget the lady who called in and was upset with you about Clifmas carols, so you offered her free tickets to come. I never used to pay attention to sport, but Ben's one-liners finish me, and Dickheads of History was great. Mabali, you are fabulous. I miss listening to Sipping Tea.
Aww.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, Dumi's gone on to host the breakfast show on Jacaranda.
Jacaranda, yeah.
Jacaranda.
Sia has inspired me with his Year of Yes. Sia, you've inspired a lot of people at the Year of Yes.
Hmm.
You only get one life. You've got to live it up. Have you done any Year of Yes stuff this month?
Oh, not yet.
Uh-oh. Pressure's building.
Out of our
halfway through July. You better have something.
And we are, halfway through July. All right, so let's stick it through.
You've only got six more yeses to do if you do one a month.
Yeah, no, I feel like I've already reached my quota.
What have you done so far?
Because I haven't been able to bungee jump.
What have you done so far?
It is the Wait, let's think back to Jan.
By the way, he's such a millennial. He's sitting here with dungarees on and he's got a fidget spinner. He's got a fidget spinner in his hand and he's sitting in dungarees.
You did this to me, so...
I bought you the fidget spinner, but I mean, you haven't left that thing alone.
Wow.
Every morning, it's in his hand.
It's amazing.
You should feel good that I'm actually using the gift you gave me.
All right, what's been done in the year of yes so far?
Jumping off the stadium in Durban.
That counts as a bungee jump.
No, but you see, that's...
It's a swing, but it's about...
it's a little swing. I really want to test myself. Look, I'm not putting it on concrete. Maybe at the end of the year. It's the idea, and I've researched...
All right, so you did the Moses Mabhida swing.
Yes.
What else?
And then hiked up Table Mountain. Then I was dipping it in sewing with some people.
Oh.
That's part of it as well.
Well, just pretend we understood what that means.
Well, I tested the foreign man theory.
Okay,
that was a yes.
That was a yes.
That was a yes.
That's three.
What else have I done? It's all of, but like it's these little things, you know, for me as well, it's this thing of standing up for yourself sometimes to go, no, actually, I don't like that, or no, I'm not going to do that. You know, for usually I was such a people
I would
pleaser.
Say those are the most important ones.
Mm.
To adopt that into everyday little situations.
A lot of people let themselves be pushed around.
Yeah. And I am the biggest people pleaser still, but I'm trying to now go, no, okay, nope, I'm doing this. And, you know, just saying no to someone inviting you to go out because you don't want to. But yeah, we need bigger ones again. Massive, massive ones.
All right.
Let's go.
There's a lot more coming.
Yeah.
I'm missing Lucas's laugh. We actually, we got an update from Lucas the other day, didn't he? He came up here to collect something the other day, didn't he? And then, sad that we haven't heard from Flax yet, but I think he has definitely got into the music. The number of times Justin Bieber songs are played is suspicious. Yeah, all right. Good point. Well put. That's Jennifer. Another email, this one from Vivian, who says, how's it, Amanda? This is from Vivian. I'm from the East Rand, and I have some interesting stories and perspectives. I went to a pub once and pretended to be Russian, and then a real Russian walked in. Can you believe that? It ended up with him on my couch telling me that he had just performed an armed robbery, which went wrong, and he tried to kill a guy but failed. My philosophy is that you should behave in life as you would in a Germiston pub. F freedom of speech and rights. You're going to get a puss clap if you behave in a certain way. It's that simple. Thanks, Viv. She sounds very hardcore, very East Rand. You don't want to mess with her, right?
No. That's a bit too hardcore.
We'll have some more East Randers later on this week, too. So there we go. A couple of emails.
Okay. Do we still have emails?
No.
Oh, we don't. How would you like a dick in your mouth?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, you don't need to answer.
Sorry, That's one hell of a way to wake up on a Tuesday morning, Mubs.
All right, well.
What do you mean?
Oh,
Mavale, you're priceless.
There is a strange new craze that has seen people queuing to get their mouths around one of Yummy Hero's X-rated D-cakes at the Arcadia 626 Night Market near Los Angeles. As you guessed it, it's a penis-shaped pudding. It originated in Taiwan, not surprising. And apparently it's taking over parts of America in a way that, you know, has people going onto their social media to just kind of show the rest of us biting into a huge D cake.
What size penis do you have?
And I mean, these cakes come in all sorts of flavors. You know, you can have them sugar coated, you can have them with piped cream oozing out of them as you bite into it. Yells, yells. You get the Nutella flavored versions. Although not everyone is so thrilled with the saucy sweets, however, a lot of people are into the new craze. Also,
would you want a dick cake?
You know what? Just Google D cakes, and
I don't know what's gonna pop up if I.
No, I mean, look, it's a penis shaped cake. It's probably a lot bigger than your average size penis.
Are you thick like a can of soup?
It's yep. Because, you know, a lot of people have also been having fun with what size do they come in? You know, people are just having fun with a new craze and a new trend.
Right.
But yes, they're called D-cakes.
Oh, I'm glad.
They're made by a Taiwanese company called Yummy Heroes. And it seems to be creating quite a stir in parts of the United States.
Yummy Heroes.
The company sells thousands of D-cakes each evening at this market in Los Angeles. And people are into it, man. People are into it.
All right. I mentioned earlier that we were going to check in with Jane, who's back on the job here at Cliff Central. She's our domestic goddess. She looks after people. She looks after the place. Hey, Mum Jane, how are you?
Hi, Papa G.
Yeah.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm back.
I'm back. Yeah, the maternity leave's done. How old's your baby now?
She's turning 3 months next week.
What's her name?
Sarah Walifuno.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And she's happy and healthy?
She's healthy.
I'm so
happy,
pleased.
Like her mother.
Absolutely. Oh, no, that's good. That's good.
So, Mum Jane, we haven't seen you in a long time. You had to take your daughter up to Venda to meet the rest of the family.
Yeah.
So you were in Venda just the other day?
Last week.
Okay, maybe. Now, this place sounds pretty crazy. There's a lot that goes on there. There are a lot of wild animals. There's snakes in the summer.
Wild animals. There's a lot of monkeys, baboons, snake, everything.
Now, these baboons are very dangerous. They're all over the place, and you have to lock the doors because they will come into the house. Tell me about the baboons.
You know, they are all over the place because it's on top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's where my father of my child came from, actually, because I came from Zanin, mm-hmm. and he's came from Venda.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there to visit. It was my first time seeing like a big baboon. You know, all the time.
How big?
Big, like, I don't know. You know what?
It was like a 6-year-old big?
No, 10-year-old big.
Oh my God.
Right, yeah. That's scary.
It was so scary because, you know, my mother-in-law told me that, you know what, Jane, you must lock the door because those baboons, they're too dangerous. If they can just grab your baby, they can run away with your baby. Because all the time they're on top of the roof, they're playing there.
Do you hear them?
We can hear them. When they're making noise,
they tease you. They
all the time.
They want you to be scared.
No, you know, sometimes they came to play because they came to eat all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you didn't lock their kitchen, they can come to the kitchen, grab the bread, and run away.
Mm.
It's what they do all the time.
And they've got long teeth.
Long teeth. The one that I saw last week, I was so scared because it was my first time. All the time I can see monkeys, a lot of monkeys.
Yeah, the little monkeys
are fine. Little monkey playing.
Because you can chase the monkeys away.
You can, but the baboon, you can't.
They're not scared of you.
They're not. Because there's a lot of popo. They're on top of the popo, they grab the popos and run away. So if you didn't lock the door, they have to come into your house. And because of my baby, she's still young, and my mother-in-law, she was so scared all the time. She was always telling me, Jane, please can lock the kitchen door. Because if you didn't lock the kitchen door, if they can't find the food, they can just grab a baby.
What has this happened before?
You know, they happen all the time because they're staying with them. They know them.
So they've taken babies?
Yeah.
Jeez. And then what do they want to do with the babies? Do they want to like kill them? Do they eat them? Do they
like... Usually, because it's a big monkey, they can eat the babies.
Huh. Yeah. Is that true?
I'm telling you.
My God, Amanda looks terrified.
I'm telling you. Even me, I was... You know what?
Yes.
When I saw that monkey, I was like, oh my God. This
so
place.
At night?
At night. You can't see them at night. Only day.
So you don't know. You could go outside.
No.
You don't go outside?
We go a lot because it's on top of the mountain, on top of the mountain.
All right, so when you go out at night, do you need a torch? Have you got...
You need a torch because there's a lot of snake.
Oh.
But now because of his winter. Yeah, because of his winter. You know, at the rural area, when you go to the toilet, we don't use those for flushing toilet.
You've got the outside.
And we've got outside toilet. It's a bush.
Uh-huh.
So you have to be careful all the time.
Because the snake will bite you.
Snake will bite you.
Yeah, as you're squatting.
You know, as you just sit, somewhere, I don't know, other parts.
You don't know.
You don't know. Yeah.
Terrifying.
What is the weather like in Venda at this time?
It's so hot. Look at me.
They don't have winter, ne?
They don't have winter. Yeah. It's only at night it's cold, eh? Only at night.
And you have to be careful of all these animals the whole time.
You have to, you know, they usually know them all. They know them because they stay with them every day. Because me, I usually visit there only when the school closed. So I don't used to see those monkeys, especially where I came from. There's no monkey, it's only snake. At Venda, there's a mountain. They stay on top of the mountain. On top of the mountain.
And they you say they climb around on the roof.
They everywhere, Gareth, everywhere.
And they eat everything.
They eat everything. They eat, you know, they grab everything It's like a person. The monkey is like a person, even the baboon. Even if they put the baby at the back, they put the baby like a normal person when they run away with the babies.
Well, they've got hands like us. They can grab things.
They grab everything.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty scary. And baboons, you don't want to fight with a baboon.
You don't have to fight with a baboon.
Do you use, if I'm sure the men in the village know how to chase them away. Do they use sticks?
No, you know, especially now it was the time for mealie-meal. That's why they used to come all the time, because they came to eat the mealie-meal.
So how do you chase them away?
They, you know, they...
You shoot them?
No, the cricket. The cricket is the main thing that you have to shoot and they can run away.
The what?
The cricket. They scare the cricket and
the
gun.
Oh, like fireworks.
The fireworks.
Oh, okay, yeah. I got
so
you.
So we're using those things.
So you're pa-pa-pa-pa, and then they run away.
Okay. Otherwise, they can't. So I was asking my mother-in-law about these baboons. I was like, what about if this baboon take my baby? Where I can find my baby?
Oh, my God.
What did she say?
She was saying, you know what, Jane, we have to be careful because they can run away and we can't find them because there's a lot of baboon on top of the mountain.
Mm, they live in where the rocks are.
So she was telling me the story. She was like, you know, one day down there, the road, that this woman took the small baboon and the baboon went to the mountain and called all the baboons. They came and they've been so scary. You know what? They've been making noise.
So in other words, she was horrible to one little baboon.
Yeah,
and then that baboon called the others?
Called other baboons. And she was like, all the people, they came from the rural area because it was a lot of baboons.
They had to fight them.
They fight the people and they have to let the baby run away. It's where the baboon go. Oh my God.
It's like Planet of the Apes in real life. Yeah.
It's us versus the apes.
Sia called me. Mm. And when Sia called me, I was like, Sia, oh my God, you can't believe what I'm seeing here. I'm seeing the baboons every day. Every day. But they're enjoying to see them. And in our culture, because when I take my baby there, they have to take the poo of the baboon to put my baby on.
They use poo of the baboon?
Yeah.
For what?
Because the baby will be scared at night. You know what they do? They take the poo of the baboon. Yeah. Yeah, they did like that at the time they took the baby.
But don't baboons, they go, bah!
They do like that.
Yeah. I've heard them before. Yeah. It's almost like they bark.
You know, when I go with my baby there, because my baby, she was 2 months old, they have to take poo of the baboon and put the fire. Mm-hmm. You see the smoke? They just took my baby and do like this.
Oh, and they hold him in the smoke.
Yeah, and hold they take the poo and just...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that she can scare the baboon.
You mean?
Oh, so that when the baboon approaches the baby, it smells like them.
Them, yeah.
Oh.
That's quite clever, actually.
Yeah. So that the baboon can't take my baby.
Okay. But you don't let her out of your sight.
So before I refuse, and when they tell me the story, I was like, okay, please, can you do everything? Just do it.
Mm. Just do it.
And they did.
Make it safer.
Yeah, they take the poo, but it was dry poo. They put on the fire and the thing, what do you call it, this thing?
The smoke.
The smoke, and they just put the baby on the smoke and they take the poo and put her on the body, all over the body. Oh, so you don't have to bathe her that day. The whole day she have to...
Just smell like a baboon.
It's got to sink in.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So that she can, when the baboon come, approach her, you know, the baboon can take my baby.
So how long were you in Venda for, Austin?
For 2 weeks. Yeah, because I went home. You know, I've got a lot of places because I... woman, you have to... I'm sweating. I was running because, you see, this traffic of the South Africa is so bad.
All right, well, you can go and relax, Jane. Thank you. I'm glad you told us your story because a lot of people wouldn't believe it if they didn't hear it from you.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that.
Sia said that when he grew up in Durban, they used to have monkeys but never baboons.
Mm.
Yeah. Even on the road, when you go Limpopo, you can see a lot of monkeys.
Yeah, that's just the norm.
But those vervet monkeys, they're not as dangerous as baboons, right?
No.
No. And personally for us, we've never had any sort of...
You used to leave the doors open, you'd go outside, the monkeys would be in the trees.
We'd swim even with the monkeys being in the trees. It was never a thing.
What'd they eat?
We had a lot of we had a lychee tree, we had
pawpaw
trees,
we had
monkey trees, banana trees, and so they had tons of
food. They would eat all your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the thing.
But if there are a lot of them, it must have been kind of intimidating if they're lots.
Hey, look, look, like,
they make a noise.
If it's the entire family and you never get in their way. So, like, rule number one, you never get in the way of, like, a little baby. And
if,
its mother,
if they're in the house, if a monkey or a baboon gets into your house and you are between it and the exit, that's not a good...
You're done. Over, game over, case closed.
Because it's going to try and get out, and then it might attack you.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst. You know, just imagine, Gareth, when you want to prepare, like, breakfast in the morning, you just put the bread on the table, you go into the bathroom, when you come back, there's no bread. Just imagine.
And the baboon sitting, eating it outside.
And you can
and
see the baboon sitting there.
And
look
he's
at
looking
you,
at you, laughing at
eating
you.
Eating the bread. Yeah. Just imagine. What about if maybe I just left my baby on the, maybe on the, like on the front door. I went to the bathroom. When I come back, I just saw the baboon holding my baby like this.
Oh my God,
funny,
I'd be
but
terrified.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
No, it's not, but you know, it's funny.
Well, I'm glad you're back safely. Don't go to Venda again in a hurry, please. Stay here. We there are no baboons to steal your baby. All right?
Yeah, please. It's my baby. She's here. That's why I didn't want to left her that side, because I was so scared.
I understand. All right. Thanks, Mum Jane.
Thank you.
All right. There we go.
There you go.
2 minutes after 8, cliffcentral.com. Coming up in a little while, Machaka. That's right. Yvonne Chaka Chaka, the Queen of Africa. Everybody in the world knows about this woman, and she just recently received a humanitarian award at the BET Awards in Los Angeles. And she'll be here to tell us all about that. And we'll do a little catch-up because I haven't seen my Yvonne for a long time. And it's about time we found out what she's up to. All right, everybody, let's get cracking. It's a Tuesday morning at 11th of July at 2 after 8.
This is CliffCentral.com.